the Six of Cups. This is Six of Cups, episode 6. Thank you for joining us. Without too much ado, this is a fun, sprawling, journeying, traveling, horseback riding, carrying your inquisitiveness and wonder and personal ability to generate manifestations with you, maybe over your shoulder in a sack, or you don't have to be at a cliff either. It's not one of those. It's kind of just a nice road that you go down, traveling and helping out people along the way, teaching people things, learning things, you know, I mean, what am I saying, right? Well, it's basically what the show's about. There's a lot of really cool stuff ingrained in here. We have Brother Joe Zerman, who runs The Bookmonger, that's T-H-E-E, _ Bookmonger, on Twitter, and you can find his store there, and he sells Robert Anton Wilson, Philip K. Dick. I'm sure he's got some different, you know, if I were him, I'd be selling some Invisibles, you know, stack up on those and then sell those, because there's probably going to be a big sale of Invisibles comic books, particularly the bundles and particularly the omnibus. So look for that in the near future. But as I speaketh and as a man thinketh, how doth the little crocodile, people? That's the question this evening, and I want you to answer that with us. Also, we have Mr. Señor Jerry Ablan with us, and he's freaking smart. It's fun to listen to him. It's fun to talk with him, and it's fun to learn from him. So when I say that there's people that we learn from, don't tell Jerry, but I kind of, you know, he has some stuff to teach. Do not let him know that I said that. Absolutely freaking not. So guys, without further ado, this is the part of the show where when you donate to the Six of Cups, you will be mentioned in the show notes and the actual show itself. So this is where you can get your note read. You know the value for value model, and if you're not familiar with that, you can listen to Adam Curry, and that is the Podfather, and John C. Dvorak, where the C is for computer magazine writer. I know it's not exactly how they would do it, but you know, if you don't know who that is, then he wrote for PC Magazine until the 5G Archons got him. But anywho, you can learn about it there. And when you're not listening to Six of Cups, Six of Swords, or any of the other six shows that are right around the corner. Now that's enough, right? We have some donations coming, and that'll be lovely. But said enough for now. And once again, I want to reiterate the very serious subject matter of the evening. Seriously. Serious. As Benjamin Franklin has alluded to. How doth the little butterfly? Enjoy the show. Kind of want to make sure it's kind of a podcast and all. All right. 3, 2, 1. Hey, and welcome back to the Six of Cups. This is a special journeying edition. We have my brother Joe DeZerman. You'll remember him from both his own personal The Bookmonger website and store, where he sells some awesome books. You'll also remember him. He was the first Six of Swords. And we have a perennial favorite, a fan favorite, an occult fan favorite, you dare say. This is, you know, the guy who dares need not be mentioned, but Jerry is with us as well. So, Brother Joe and Jerry, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello. Greetings and salutations.
It's good to be back. I didn't mean that to sound like a question.
It's always a question. Well, technically, this is a different show, so it's good to be on this one.
Oh, right. Yeah, this is my first time.
Yeah. Speaking of first times, what do you think about, you know, what's going on with the suiciding-ish of Jeffrey Epstein? Because that's definitely the first time that's ever happened in a political arena. So what do you guys think about that? Joe, what do you think?
You mean about him being found in the cell or him getting just kind of like walked out and sacrificed like this?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Who? Epstein?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings on whether this is a limited hangout or if it's like or maybe he just messed up. Like, I don't know. But I don't buy the fact that someone attacked him in his cell for a second. I don't think he wants to be in prison.
What if it was a psychic attack?
Well, then I guess it could be a psychic attack.
Just the very story being in the consciousness of the public mind at all is kind of like a conscious...
it's like a giant psychic attack.
Well, I mean, it's also a primal scream from, like, the most innocent sector of the actual human soul. Like, if we are all connected... Like, I don't typically care too much to go into topics like, oh, this, that, or the other, you know... I just, you know, whatever the ultimate most useful thing that we can understand a topic through that's going to evolve our consciousness, I think that's where I'm trying to go. So this is, we just had Tracy Twyman die recently, and she was looking into very similar things. And like Cooper says in Twin Peaks, when two separate events occur simultaneously, we must pay very close attention when they're both, you know, I'm butchering the quote, but when they're both related events. You know, it was Jung's birthday the other day.
But more than two events have occurred, and you have to look at Epstein as being perhaps a distraction.
I'd agree with that.
Oh, I don't disagree.
Or you can look at Mueller as being a distraction.
See, the idea about Mueller and No Agenda saying that their show title was taking a Mueller the other day. I was watching an episode of Rick and Morty, and Rick said something about, I'm going to go take a Morty. And I was like, oh. So, yeah, things connect on weird levels. But I'm connecting it because that's our community. That's not like, you know, the three of us all know who that is.
I know. You're right. You're not wrong. I was just being a dick.
No, dude. You're just making a really fucking relevant good point. The idea that it's just like this and this, but like what I'm trying to say ultimately, and can hash this and get past this, is that you know, things do feel like they're stepping up. Like I feel like this meat grinder isn't about to be over. I think like whatever's coming out of the other end. I mean, like I feel like something's heating up to the point where geopolitics is going to change to events that we haven't seen for quite some time, and not even in the fake sense like we had with Iraq and stuff like in 2003, like
real
1945
fake stuff.
Shit.
I agree. I felt like this for the last 3 years. It's building. Yeah, it is.
That's the time we woke up to, so to call. I feel like in our community, like this is something I'm glad I wanted to jump into with us. And Joe, definitely be ready for this one. I feel like we're being called to our roles. I feel like there's some kind of like grander narrative, and like we're almost getting aware of who we are, and like, you know, where we were so distant a few years ago, there's more than just an awareness of other happening. It's almost like we understand each other's esoteric functions in a way. Does anyone want to comment on that as a community member here? Because you guys are fairly damn prominent.
What was the question?
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you.
You want me to say it again? I'll say it, definitely. I have this effect sometimes, the Neptune. I feel like in the past few years, like our esoteric functions as individuals on this stage have been getting clarified. And I'm wondering if you guys feel like that's a similar way to put it. That's what I just said, basically.
Yeah, well... you could look at it this way. What I'm doing today, I would never have thought of that I would ever do in my life. Like the things I'm doing today, aside from work. So in that respect, yeah, absolutely. I've definitely taken a left somewhere where I should have gone right, or not turned at all.
Yeah. I couldn't necessarily imagine being here either, but and it's funny, not to segue, but I don't know if you guys listen to, I think it's 501 Permanently Moved. It's the JMO on Twitter's podcast, but I haven't listened to it yet, but he just put one out, I think on Friday, that was titled, What would your teenage self think of you today? And I thought I was outside doing yard work earlier today and just kind of thinking about that. And it's funny that you just kind of like ties in together a little bit. but it's trying to pull all this back together. It's I have no idea what the hell is going on. Things are moving so fast. It's kind of hard just to even, you know, it's taking the news and run your own life. It's
I think in a normal human society without an internet, you wouldn't have so much information.
Absolutely not.
And I think it's that information that complicates our lives, even though it doesn't affect us in any way.
Yeah, and kind of like looking at this news in terms of like Epstein and what's going on in that context, you know, like without the internet, there's no way we would ever know about this kind of stuff.
Is that good or bad?
It is what it is, but it, I mean, is. It depends on, it just let me say that it depends on how intensely you want to examine what this has with so-called meaning, and then how abstract you want to pull that out and how accurate we could possibly be. But to your point, guys, I watched The Magic Flute on the Criterion Collection by Ingmar Bergman the other day, and part of the overture, the entire overture, is actually not a shot on the screen of anything. It's the entire audience. So he uses that way to introduce, because you're in the audience, and so you're watching the film, you're watching The Magic Flute, as you know Mozart would have it presented, but he scrolls over all these faces in the audience, and the character and quality was striking of the humanity in these people, these creatures, these artifacts on the screen. And I just couldn't help but look at like what we look like, and it's almost as if a different vibrational quality of spirit now embodies the human race.
Sure, look at pictures from the 1800s or the old wild, you know, the old West pictures. Those people are different.
I'm trying to grasp this zeitgeistal difference.
Think about this. Why, like, I don't know when the actual dividing line was, but there was a point when people went from like an average of what, 5'3", 5'4" in height to today's 5'7", 5'8", 5'9" in there. Right. If you look at when you go to museums, this is one thing that I remember when I went to historical sites or preserved buildings or what have you. I would always remark that, look how small this shit is.
Yeah.
These chairs and this doorway. Like, what's going on here? It's like midgets lived here.
Yeah, hobbits.
Yeah. That's a difference. So maybe that correlates with what you were saying.
That's a brilliant point. I love that. You're talking about like the stuff Jonathan Black or Mark Booth, the same guy, obviously, gets with the secret history of the world. He talks about how we emanate. He's basically kind of breaking down a Kabbalistic kind of like consciousness, Rupert Sheldrake meets Tree of Life-ish thing.
No, I don't read anything, so.
Right, I just threw the books at the wall. So the point is that this guy has this whole theory about how we emanated into consciousness, right? But what we're talking about is the embodiment of that consciousness mirroring. And so I just want to really, I think it's a foundational touch point to talk about the faces. And you can look these up. I'm sure this is online. Look up the faces of the people in this Magic Flute audience, because you can feel there's an integrity to their structure. I think this relates to what you said and Joe was saying about the information overload. It's changing us. It's programming us. It's literally cybernetics.
Television shows are called programming.
CIA would turn off the TV in any house they would go into.
Because it listens. It does
so much. Yeah. I got to say it like this. So much it does. But anyways.
Joe, wouldn't believe it.
Joe, what are you thinking, man?
I don't know. You were...
He's thinking, this Jared dude's crazy. What the fuck?
No, I've listened to you enough to have an idea of what I was getting into.
See, that terrifies me that you know who I am, though.
I know. Isn't it weird how it's like you can feel like you're friends with people?
Yes.
That you never met or even spoken to?
Well, you and I interact all the time on Twitter.
Right.
So, yeah, I got your personality style, but I didn't know you listened to me talk like on my shows or anything. So it's just like, that's what, I don't think anyone, in my head, nobody listens to me because I'm a nut job.
Yeah. I guess kind of going back to what you were saying earlier, Nate, about how you you were saying something kind of about like a pivotal point, or like what if this is like what if something is actually happening right now, you know?
Yeah,
and
exactly, it feels.
You're not talking like
Jerry. Let him finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not talking Eschaton. I'm not talking. I'm not going to say anything concrete. During meditation this morning, my mind started wandering, and I was thinking about how it's like things are different now, whether it's tech or it's climate or, you know, it's just like what, you know, it's like really what is going to be next? You know, yeah. It's almost hard to like forecast into the future. And it's really crazy. I kind of just like, I was asking myself, or I was playing with the idea, like what, like how do we deal with this going forward? You know, like this heat wave is crazy that we've not had. I don't know exactly where, Jerry, I'm not sure where you're at.
I'm in Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay, so I'm sure
it's been actually cool here. We've gotten the dip in the jet stream right now, so it's been the 80s.
Yeah, it, nice. it dipped down. I'm in Maryland, and it's gotten cool.
I'm sorry. Last
yeah, thank you. I'm not a native Marylander. I have been here for about 6 years now.
Michigan represent.
I think I have a good analogy for what you're trying to say. Imagine that we live in a game of Minecraft. And over the years, the objects in the game keep getting upgraded to better graphics quality, better functionality, better. The technology gets better inside the game, except the characters don't change.
Oh, what, like the Berenstain Bears book will change from E to A? Continue.
Sure.
But upgrading the technology. Like,
the objects within the game get upgraded based on whatever, you know, whatever is happening, the timeline's driving it, who knows, whatever. But I don't think the characters change, and I think that's, at some point, they have to be changed, they have to be upgraded to at least a point to where they can deal with all of the objects in the game. Because at some point, if you keep upgrading all the shit, the characters won't be able to deal with it. There's no UI for this thing. I don't know how to deal with this part of the game because my character is old school or whatever. So I think there's an upgrade that happens to the characters in the game in order to get them to this plateau where they can deal with that next level.
I think that's a useful metaphor to a point. I think that...
But I'm high, so...
What is it?
But I'm high, so never mind.
Oh, God, no. I think that some of the best ideas come from there, and you heard me say that. It's true. The idea that we are all living in an AI is obviously well-floated, and people have hashed that out, and I have no real dog in any fight right now. But the point...
I have a theory about that, too.
The point about it is that humans do have a strange knack for having this 100th monkey effect. So if you can get enough of them critically evolved so that they can actually have a particular rational functioning, dare I even say, down the lines of Christ-like consciousness, the reason we're kept so the reason I get so intense about this idea of us and who we are and why I'm trying to grok this and understand how to manipulate it is exactly that. If we can get a critical mass of us to get, you know, rationally behaving at a 98% of our time, because we know how much we're actually on par with what we could be. If we could do that, I bet you that we'd see the 100th monkey effect, and I bet we'd see like a radical change in this population. Now, that's the reason.
That actually 100th monkey effect theory is under question.
Well, I'll simply say that's the reason the Archons come down so hard on keeping that kind of thing from happening. Game of Saturn style.
I suppose. But I look at the Archons as part of... Okay, well, first of all, I want to say that Christ consciousness to me means unity consciousness. We join the collective and can participate in it knowingly. You know? That would be Christ-like.
I don't disagree.
I forgot what the other thing was. Oh, the Archons. I think the Archons are just part of the consciousness that rebelled. I don't know.
It could be the part of the consciousness that wants to keep itself separate
But the point is, it's us too.
Yeah, no, I understand.
In a way, yeah.
How could it not be if it's all part of our one collected dream?
I don't know. It could be a digital virus for all I know. Because, you know, for all we know,
the virus is still natural, of course.
For all we know, the collective, our collective conscious could be an AI of some sort. And we are just individuations of it attempting to become, in the collective's attempt to become self-aware.
To a degree, I would say that's what's happening, minus the fact that it's something that would be considered silicon AI.
Oh, no, no. Non-organic. It's organic, but nothing like we know.
Like a Valis.
Like a Valis, yeah.
Joe?
It could very well be technology, because there's really, you know, when you look at the science of shit, there's no physical matter. Really.
Jerry and I are in a stoner spiral right now.
I'm not that stoner. I'm just trying to say. No, this universe, call it physical, is not really physical.
Well, not to be like, what name? So, I hate to be a stickler, but it's like when you like when we start ascribing like what. You know, like that we live in a simulation or it's all AI, you know, I feel like that's what humans have used the technology of the day to try to describe their experience for as long as we've been thinking, I'd imagine.
That's so probably, it's like, you know, we have no other way to express those ideas than the current things that everyone understands together.
Right. True. But it's, I don't know. I almost feel like it's a little bit limiting. It's but extreme. I guess it could also be limited by our comprehension of
what anything. The fuck's going on. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, to me, it's like if I can get a model of it, if I can model a thing just to get an idea of the operating of it, you know, then I can apply labels afterwards or metaphors or whatever.
Right. Context.
Well, that's the trivium for you.
Yeah.
Is that a game or something?
That's Trivial Pursuit. Trivium is the classical art of being able to use grammar, logic, and rhetoric to make sense and orientate yourself within your surroundings that you may then conquer them.
Trivium.
Control yourself within them.
Three truths.
Say it again?
It's Latin.
Three ways, three paths, yes. Also, it's a parable. The first three tracks of the Holy Gift fit into that paradigm because they need to. The word was what created reality in the sense of the vibration, the tone, the cymatic. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. Joe, you were saying.
Oh, I don't even know where I was going with that. It's just.
I totally get it, what you're saying, though. You're right. You're right.
And it's just. I think it's dangerous because it gives people the excuse to say, oh, it's just a simulation. Oh, it's just AI. And it's like, no, it's not. It's your life.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just God.
What's it?
Oh, it's just God hates me. It's God's will. It's the same thing. It's just religion.
God hates me and everything goes right and stuff like that. Yeah, no, it's true.
I'm almost more comfortable saying it's just God because, like, if we're going to have a contrived idea of something, I'd at least like to give it
connection to our consciousness.
Well, you know, I also believe that we are all God. So, I mean, that
right.
It doesn't make it an enemy. Like, I don't think that. I don't know.
I agree. I think there are trials to be overcome, but that good ultimately overcomes evil. But like, I would think that like we also have to be critical of like the larger community listening to this who like don't even view things in that manner and might even have like a different path intention. And some people view that like some of us are here to descend the energies and that's their evolutionary or devolutionary path. And others, like obviously, Jerry, one sec, obviously some of us are here to evolve the energies, and that's where we try to shine our intentions. And therein, you don't necessarily have good or evil. You just have the opposing forces with the opposing interests. And ultimately, there's also the middle path, but things will work themselves out. I do believe Martin Luther King Jr. was correct in saying that the arc of history is bent towards justice. You know, I firmly believe in that.
You mentioned beings here to descend. What do you think about the idea that, well, I heard someone say this, that beings who descend in this life become, they descend evolutionarily as well. So they'll become a reptilian, or from there they'll become an insectoid because they're descending down the evolutionary tree because they're not ascending.
But to them, it could seem like a possible ascension, in a sense, it seems, is one option that could go with.
No, because you're limited in your thought processes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. To them, there's obviously a teleological impetus that would drive one towards saying that, to me, I seek to descend, because it seems like to them, descending is the optimal position. Or is there something driving them that's astrological? Is there something driving them that's divine? You know, I mean, why doth the little crocodile? So anyways, like, the point is that Tool has a new album coming out on the 30th of the Augs. And the point is their big lead-in hit is Descending, which was originally ascending/descending, I would venture. But in any sense, we have no idea, but we can speculate the charm out of it. So what do you guys think about the idea that there's also a guy named Dane Redyar, has an interesting name. It's like R-U-D-H. Y-A-R, and he has this book about the magic of tone, talking about the very similar thing to Jonathan Black and Mark Booth with the emanations, the kind of tone coming into being. They talk about, what is this? So the point is what do you guys make of all of this kind of stuff with tones making the world and Tools descending, and maybe what we're talking about is our souls evolving has to do with the musical aspect to it. I'm throwing all of that at both of you. Go.
I mean, that's kind of like Genesis, right? Not the band, but I mean, maybe the band.
I totally referenced Selling England by the Pound. Is that the name of the album, I believe? So yeah.
Cinema Show.
Huh?
The song Cinema Show.
Dude, the whole fucking album.
I know, it's a great album.
It is, but so thank you, Joe, for getting us this. I'm sorry, what?
The Firth of Fifth.
The whole fucking album.
Yeah, I know.
But the whole, okay. So, Joe, see what you did there?
Yes.
Take responsibility, sir. Anyways, what were you saying?
Well, I mean, the idea that tones have power goes back to the Old Testament. I mean, it's the creation story in Christianity. If a tone is a sound and a word is a sound,
then it's the ruach too, right? The Shekinah, the holy breath.
Yeah, and then tying that into magic, I mean,
casting spells, etc.
Yeah, and like barbarous names and intoning, like if you're doing like Golden Dawn or Thelema kind of stuff, like, you know, that was like my first real experience with the power of, besides music, like the power of sound and word, you know. I've gotten like tons of weird experiences, just like making weird noises in my bedroom with candles burning.
I think that frequency, when you utter them and you are in ritual mode, so to speak, it tunes your brain. It tunes you to a certain frequency. It doesn't do anything to the environment. It tunes you to the planes where those things exist,
which says a lot about our environment.
Oh yeah, it's teeming with shit,
right? I mean I've recently, in probably the last like month and a half, been doing a lot of experiments with binaural beats and what's it called, I can't think of what, the Monroe, Robert Monroe's work,
Hemisync.
The Hemisync, yeah, that. And I've been practicing magic since probably like 2010. So what, nine years, going on 10 years. Not that that's a lot of time by a lot of people's, you know, experiences, but
it's enough.
And I'm not trying to throw my credentials out there. It's just that I would say two months ago or 2.5 months ago, I got my hands on some Monroe Institute material, and it's been some of the most like game-changing stuff I've dealt with, like that's what got me back into doing binaural beat work. And it's, you get out there.
Taking you away from magic?
No.
Okay.
Giving
you a new perspective on magic?
Giving me a new perspective, and it's, his techniques have allowed me to get into the zone where I can do my own work faster than I could have ever imagined. You know, like, it, my mind would always wander, and I would just get into my own, like, weird spaces and kind of, like, lose track of what I was trying to do in that.
Makes me think if it's like a middle pillar ritual kind of thing going on, where it's like, it's called hemisync, so it's syncing your...
You're looking at it the wrong way. The middle pillar, all the rituals are to get you to that state. They're not... It's a common state across the world.
I don't think you understood what I was saying.
I'm sorry, then.
My point is that what they're trying to do with the middle pillar is what the hemisync is effectively doing with its... the audience can't see what I'm doing, but the moving the hand from the left to the right and the front of the head to the point, anyways.
Well, it's destroying the rainbow bridge, or creating the rainbow bridge, if you want to look at it that way, between the two halves of your brain.
Yeah.
If you live in your analytical brain, and your subconscious lives in the right side, or however that works, right? They're not really connected and communicating 100%. Maybe when you're in that state, they are.
I don't know what the hell it's doing, but.
Well, they would be in sync then.
Yeah, that's what they say. And, you know, I mean, I can't measure it. I can't test it, but I do know that it, it's very effective. And he did a lot of homework to come up to synthesize. It's a synthesis of a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of it I recognized from Golden Dawn ritual and just kind of like Buddhist meditations. Yeah, he's taken a lot from a lot of things, but the way they present it, he does a pretty good job of removing the dogma, which is why it makes sense that it was used, you know, that they were working with psychic spies and shit like that. You're like, oh, I totally get why this is like deep state stuff. But, you know, just like people can use LSD, you know, you can use it to destroy your life, or someone can use it to destroy your life, or you can have, you know, a life-changing experience.
Or you can meet Alex Gray and have him call you Imaginathan. Yeah.
That too. That hasn't happened to me yet, though.
The day it does, I don't know. You might feel like it has destroyed your life.
I took acid for the first time on my 17th birthday. It did change my life, yeah.
How'd it go, man?
It was crazy. I took it was a hit of blue microdot. My friend had given it to me. We took it at midnight, which was probably a mistake.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You could see the sunrise.
Yeah. I don't think I did, though. The half the night we spent in a black light environment with black light time.
Oh. And
then we switched to regular lights. It was like a whole new room showed up.
That's rough.
Tell us about that. Tell us what it felt like.
It's very speedy, this particular acid that I had. It was very speedy. You know, you had jitters. You can't really focus. For instance, I was with my girlfriend at the time, then became my wife, whatever. She's like, get me a rubber band out of the drawer. She wanted to tie her hair up. I go over to my friend Mark's desk drawer, open it up. Even though there are rubber bands right there in front of me, I could not find them. It's like, there's just too much stuff here to look at. And as you start looking at all these things, you forget what you're doing. And it's like, oh, I give up.
So did you get the hair tie eventually?
Mark got it for her. The one thing I do remember that was very cool was that at the time I wore glasses. I have gotten laser eye surgery since then. But around the rim of, you wear glasses, Nate, right? You've seen, you know, when you wear glasses, you can see the rim.
Yeah. Sometimes you can.
Yeah, you can sometimes see it. Well, in my glasses at the time, I could see it all the time. And what I recall from this trip, which was really cool, was there were triangles, circles, and squares, little squares, rotating, going in a marquee all the way around my glasses.
That's neat.
The whole night. And they were pastel colors while the black light was on. And then when the real light came on, they went away.
Ah, that sounds really pretty, though.
Yeah, it was very cool. And then my friend Mark thought that the pole, we were hanging out in the basement. and he thought the pole had turned into a snake while he was holding it. That was pretty cool.
Oh no. So Joe, have you ever had the did we talk about any LSD with we were on
it's likely. Yes, I'm familiar.
Tell us tell us a bit about the LSD romance.
Oh, for me, like, it was one of those things that was always around when I was younger, but I never did it when I was a teenager. I've taken mushrooms since I was like 15. So that was like my first introduction to psychedelics.
And I've never done mushrooms.
Never, ever.
Never, ever.
I think you've said that before.
Probably.
I think I was probably 20 something when I first did acid. That was cool. I think it's a little too long for what it is. And it's kind of like, I like that you don't have to deal with God very much. And in that sense, it's, you know, I feel like you can use it more as a tool. Whereas there's other psychedelics where it's like, you're going to go into your soul and it's going to get weird. And, you know, it's, who knows what's going
to
happen.
But I have to take DMT. So wait, that's the one that comes to mind when I hear that kind of thing. That's like, you're going to strap in, because if you're going, you're going.
I mean, even at like fairly low doses with mushrooms, I think that having some type of like spiritual experience is fairly common. At least for me, it was. And I think that's like, I think some people are more afraid of mushrooms than acid, just in terms of like the party scene. You know, you can take acid and go to the bar and like, you're going to be weird, but as long as you don't take too much, like, you'll just have a good time.
See, that would freak me out. I could never do that. I could never leave my house if I was on acid.
You don't take it and leave, which is the
trick.
I took
mine when I just got to Cosm. So, I mean, and I've only done it twice maybe. And it was Bonnaroo was the other time. So yeah, I saw.
Yeah, I've only done it three times.
Radiohead was the second.
17, 18. I never did anything after that.
Oh, that's yeah, that's early though. Yeah, I was 23. No, 21 for the Radiohead, and that was crazy shit. Amazing show, life altering.
I think it just leaves more room for like, you have a little bit more. As long as I will say, this is not advice, but like, as long as you don't take too much, it's a fairly like. It's a fairly stable trip, you know? And if you're in a good place, you'll tend to have a good experience, I think. Yeah. But like with something like mushrooms, you know, it's like, for me, it feels like the whole process feels like religious in a sense, you know, it's like you're taking in the body of one of the strangest organisms on earth.
Also an organic.
Right. You're eating flesh, essentially.
Wow.
Mushroom flesh.
I mean,
I wouldn't call fungus a flesh.
No, but I
saw like, some ghost plant in the forest this afternoon. It was beautiful. That's
like in that movie Adaptation, those orchids.
Ooh. Well, before we fly off the handle into flowers and such, because we can, mushroom flesh is on the table right now. And I hear you about the partaking in the sacrament. So let's go in that direction.
It's, I think it's intense because it seems like it is like, I don't know why I'm on this Christian kick right now.
I hear you though.
It does. I mean, it's like you're taking in the body of something. You know, with acid, it's like, it's a tab or it's a micro dot or you're dropping it. It feels very removed. It's like, it's almost like taking a pharmaceutical, even though it's not really, I mean, I guess it could be, but you know what I mean? Mushrooms, like you're eating food. It's like super primal, but then it also mixes in the idea of communion in a sense too. And then the fact that mushrooms generally tell you something.
And that they might have taught us something. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a weird one. And you can have a good time on it. You know, you take like a little bit and drink a couple beers or something and you'll laugh. But if you take a little bit too much, everyone gets quiet. You know, no one talks. So that's a whole different beast.
Well, that's a good thing, though. And I think that our ancestors are baked into that because we've been doing that far, 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 DNA and otherwise, memories and experiences and et cetera, otherwise. How many aeons beyond when Sandoz or et cetera, you know, I mean, God bless Hoffman, but, you know, mushrooms, they're OG.
Yeah, and it's like they literally like hold the history of the earth if they're grown on earth, you know. Like
they are teachers. Well, I mean, without a doubt, and I mean in every sense of the word. I mean this, like, even a materialist, even a materialist could understand what we're saying here, which this is at least something that you can learn from on a psychological level. But basically, from the perspective at which we see it, this is huge. It's a crucible or something. Or something of an arc of knowledge, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what, but they're scary. They're like they're one of the things in life that, like, even, you know, if someone was like, do you want to take mushrooms tomorrow? I would hesitate. She's like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that. Like, I don't know if I wanted my Sunday or whatever, you know.
You need to have a fast beforehand is just a really good idea.
I think it helps.
I did a lot of research on this. The best way to ingest them, if you want to, you know, be just part of your day instead of all your day, is to make a tea out of it.
I would second the tea. It also makes coming up a hell of a lot more enjoyable.
Also, I heard that MAOIs, ingesting those, will intensify your trip quite a bit.
I've never...
Which I think there's some kind of seed you can chew beforehand, swallow them, drink some tea, and then boom, you're like, you know.
It sounds like some ayahuasca hacking.
It's not. It's just the way that the alkaloids in the mushroom react with the MAOIs, which are... oxygenase inhibitors or something. Yeah,
what would an example of that be?
I will look one up.
Good question. Because,
well, you know how, like, when in the production of ayahuasca, you have to I don't want to just talk about things like I know them, but
give it the best shot.
I forget the technical slant on it. But the reason why you have to mix the vine and the leaf
inhibitor that prevents
it. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It prevents it from not being absorbed. Right.
Right. And it allows you to absorb it.
Well, I think it's generally well known by people who listen to this. How, yeah, you're fine. I mean, people.
Yeah. I just didn't want to go in and say a bunch of things that would be wrong.
No, you're absolutely good. But yeah,
That's what it reminds me of. That the idea of
that's another one.
Here's what it says.
All right, Jerry, go.
So yes, MAOIs do increase the effects of mushrooms up to 30 to 40% potency. In general, your results may vary. The example they use here: 3 grams of mushrooms and 4 grams of Syrian rue.
Yes, that's right, Syrian rue.
Both made into separate teas. You drink the rue tea 30 minutes before the shroom tea. Kaboom.
People will take, I mean, Syrian rue is like the precursor to the idea of LSD, isn't it?
I don't know.
Syrian rue. There's
a connection.
Oh, you're talking about the ergot fungus.
We're talking about the ergot fungus, but also Syrian rue. I think people take Syrian rue to get high. I think you can take it on its own.
He says in here that it has a feel of its own.
Yeah, I think that you can. I think all it's a mild hallucinogen or possibly an intense one at higher doses.
So it goes without saying that this is not an endorsement, legal advice.
Yeah, this is for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, I've never done this.
Hotline. What? Yeah,
I've never done this, so
This is all fictitious. This is just a dream, and you are an imagination of yourself.
Yeah, I'm like drawing upon my old like Arrowhead memories.
Oh man, that site when you discover that site, it's like a breath of fresh air. I love that. That's such a great, it's one of the best sites on the internet. 20 top sites, Arrowhead is on there.
Yeah, if you're going to donate money to a website and it's not your favorite podcast, donate money to Arrowhead.
Boom. Also, I'd say the Comet Research Group, because I don't know, kind of been on that ever since I saw Graham Hancock speak back in April. And or is it May? Could have been May. I don't know. Whatever. One of those months.
Sometime.
Yeah. In the timeline. He made a good point. He made a pitch for the, I don't know, not a plea or a pitch, but somewhere in between. And he made it aware, you know, that there's a Comet Research Group that doesn't actually get, you know, they get stuff done from an open perspective. Let's put it that way.
So, you mean like comet observation? Like, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, apparently one of the main calls to action is that there's some kind of comet that might be coming really close. And if we're going to be spending anything on space, you know, we should be spending it on finding a way to do something about any hazards.
The New Agers have also classed upon this or whatever graphs into pulled it into their narrative where it's going to sprinkle us with magic pixies and, you know, upgrade us.
I'm glad that I haven't heard that. I haven't gotten that stuck in my timeline yet.
Now you do.
Thank you, Jerry. You're officially affecting us all.
That a comet's going to come, it's going to disrupt the energies of the solar system. It's going to disrupt and bring its own cosmic rays, which will then rain down upon us. And
that's good. Give
us cancer in our DNA.
Yes, 46-2 is right ahead of us. Joe, what do you think about our new cosmic interloping magnetics? Or alternately, what do you think about us being an organic system injected into an inorganic system? And what does that mean for ancestors?
I don't know what question you're asking me. What about magnetics? How do they work?
One you want. It's yours to pick from.
Would you repeat the first question?
First one was...
About
magnets. How do they work? That's the answer. How magnets work. That's a new question.
No one wants to hear me try that.
Jerry,
according to Ken Wheeler, do you know who this guy is on YouTube?
I feel like I've heard the name, but go on.
His channel is called like Theoria Apophathus, something like that. I'll get you a link and put it in your Discord. So
sounds good.
He says that what. I forget the words he used because it's really big and long and he says them fast, but it's like what we call electromagnetism is actually the effect of the dielectric field on the magnet itself. And it's not a pull. It's being pulled away. So the dielectric, which basically the ether, right, has a toroidal field around the magnet. So the magnetic fields that we see, right, are just the voids in the ether,
absence, if you will.
Right, because we can observe the magnetism.
Fill the void.
Right, so it's a pull more than an attraction. It's being pulled towards, I forget what he calls it, it's point-based or single point retro something or other, which the magnet is pulled towards that point of origin of the dielectric.
Still doesn't explain how the hell it happens, but that's neat.
So it's like the opposite
bands.
Yes, it's a pull, not a push, but it's a pull from a thing that science will not acknowledge.
So would it be as if there was, if something in the center is metal, you have magnets around it or a magnetic field around it, and it's pulling towards the center point.
Right.
And are we talking about this other form of magnets being essentially surrounding that? I know this is simple and it would be ever present or pervasive.
Yeah, it's the
but it would be think the of opposite it of so yeah, it's th- like
think of it as oxygen, you know.
So it's like the inverse of our version of magnetic pull.
Yeah.
So it's like pushing, but because it's flipped, it's actually pulling out as opposed to pushing away.
Yeah, like it's trying to come together. It's because things want to they don't want to gravitate together. They want to complete that circuit of dielectric and electric called magnetism for now.
So it's like, okay, so maybe I just said that wrong, but
I'm doing a bad version of explaining it because I don't remember the words he used, which makes sense when you watch the video about 10 times, you'll finally get it. But he has actually a device which can view the field that he's talking about.
And is this the idea, the technology that we would use for like
saucers,
UFOs?
Yes, exactly.
Like 0 point energy kind of thing.
Yeah. Because you can change basically what you can do with the right equipment and the right energy, the right amount of energy, you can set the gravity point where you're going to be attracted to and what we would call gravity, what you will gravitate towards. You can move that point. So I don't know. Do you ever use something where you can tween? You know what tweening is?
No.
A bad example. Never mind. With the right, so
like directed magnetism,
pretty much,
but based on a different form of energy.
The gravity that your craft would be adhering to, you could tell it where is your point of gravity. So instead of being at the Earth, you could maybe move it above you so your craft would go up.
Would that require quantum maths?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like it's almost like you're changing
your point.
Like if we were graphing this, you'd be taking the center point of the axis and moving it to a different ground or point, and that would then be
the center point of gravity of the Earth. Because if you're on the ground and you want to take off, right, you would move the Earth's the point of gravity to which you adhere, you'd move to above you, and you go up. It's like you can change your gravity target.
All the time you think you're walking, you're just moving the ground.
That sounds horrible for anyone listening to this to have to participate in that conversation. I feel like not being able to ask questions, be like, what the hell are you talking about?
I'll find the video and everyone can watch it.
Yeah, that's...
I think everyone's going to do fine. We tune in for these strange stoner speculations.
But I'm also really glad that we just like hit the ground running.
I'm not stoned at all now.
Oh, well, we need to fix that.
Welcome to the Real Big Show. It's really not the time to do that in the middle of the episode, is it? All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're enjoying the show. Basically... we have, there's actually a part I was going to include that was part of a break during the show that has Jerry talking to Brother Joe about this amazing ferrofluid-filled, what was it? It was showing cymatics. I believe it was able to show cymatics in three dimensions. So that's fascinating, and there's so many cool implications, or at least like ways to play with that I'm looking forward to discovering, because this is so in line with what I love. That being said, we have this donation segment right here. This is for the $50 and above to $200, or that is $199. So you know how that goes, value for value. I hope you're enjoying the show. So we're going to get back to the conversation now without further ado. And don't forget, the more donations I get, it's feeding the show. It's the donations are for the show. They're for the, this is what it, you know, it's to keep it going at least. It's literally what it is. So let's do that and more. So happy voices, happy faces, and happy listeners. Let's go.
But yeah, I mean, I'm grateful to be able to do these kind of things besides just, you know, the main thing in my life. But the main thing is music. That's the thing to make myself into. That's so, you know, my girlfriend is an artist by trade. She makes jewelry. She's a metalsmith, ladysmith. And she's been inspiring me to reach what I really want to do, which is be a musician. Which is to make my music and create what I didn't think could possibly be created and create what I think should be.
So you found your muse?
There's something to that there. I feel really more able to see the goal than before. Let's put it that way. So, I mean, it's tough. Like, you know, it's not just the whole aspect of, are you making something that people resonate with? Can you get it to enough people? Can you get yourself to the point where you're comfortable enough to reach into yourself, to turn yourself inside out like that in a way that is worth a damn, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good to have goals.
It's not just a goal though. That's the process of any creative endeavor is something that is, it's shamanistic in of itself. You know what I mean? Like, look at any great album or any, I know you think that music is the devil, but
no, I don't. I was teasing.
Well, I guess you're not picking up my sarcasm. My point is that name some music that you feel would fit this criteria that I'm talking about for you.
I can't. Music is not a big part of my life. I enjoy it. I know a lot about it, but it's not something I'm not an audiophile or anything like that. I didn't mean it that way. I did all my music stuff when I was way into music when I was younger. I've seen a shitload of artists that don't tour anymore.
Like, same who?
Like Steely Dan.
Saw them. They tour.
Like Chicago, like Journey.
That's cool, I guess.
Yeah. I saw Roger Waters. He's still out there, but
that's cool.
I
just saw Nick Mason in April, the drummer.
Yeah. About 12 years ago. I saw the whole Dark Side of the Moon thing he did.
12 years ago. So what, 2005?
Seven-ish?
Yeah. What was that?
It was called An Evening with Roger Waters. The first half was a mix of Pink Floyd songs and some of his own material. The second half was Dark Side of the Moon, cover to cover, no stops.
Yeah, I remember that coming around. I would have liked to have seen that.
I had 12th row center seats because I had done some computer work for a friend who sold tickets, and he got me the seats.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
How good was the show?
It was fantastic. It was the best concert I've ever seen. Well, second best.
What was the best?
The best was the Violent Femmes opening up for the B-52s on the Sugar Shake, was it? Love Shack, the Love Shack tour.
That is totally you, dude.
Yeah. I've seen the Femmes. I saw the Femmes for the first time at the Egyptian Theater in DeKalb, Illinois, 1983.
I wasn't even around then. Not in this incarnation.
I don't remember if I was tripping or not, but it was fucked up.
Maybe you took some mushrooms and I popped into existence. Hey.
Maybe. Yeah, it was like December of 83. They were at the Egyptian Theater. It was my freshman year of college, my only year of college.
Okay. Well, so you do understand the great, immense amount of artistry that goes into something like Roger Waters, how much he must go through to be in that vulnerable and productive state.
Well, the thing I noticed is that the people that produce the best music, at least in the, let's call it, you know, the professional music arena, are the most tortured souls. So there's some kind of inverse proportion there to the greatness of your music by how fucked up your life is. Or maybe not really that fucked up, but as fucked up as the songwriter, the artist thinks or feels it is. Look at Jim Morrison, for instance.
Okay.
I would call him a tortured soul. The dude just, you know, I don't know what got him to that state, but he was just to this point in his life where he didn't give a shit anymore. He just wanted to get that next rush or the next, he wanted to explore things and get that next rush. So he you know the story. He was an alcoholic. He was constantly drunk and constantly on acid.
So, I mean, we could also compare it to people like Kurt Cobain or something like that.
Sure.
But the idea is that, you know, I'm sure there are some artists out there, we don't exactly remember the ones that didn't have that intensity, that fire inside. But, you know, I mean, it's one thing to have that. It's another.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's that intensity, that fire is driven by the trauma, whatever their life is that energy. They successfully channel it into music that succeeds.
do you think all great art comes from a great pain?
In the mind of the artist, yes.
Even happy art?
Tell, what's some happy art?
For example, Holst's Jupiter. That's a really positive, upbeat thing. You know, I mean, like Kate Bush's December Will Be Magic Again. You know, it's another example. Just happy art. B-52s, you know. I don't know. I guess you can find a conspiratorial plan for Rock Lobster, but, you know.
No, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy at all. I'm just saying that I think that it's – how can I explain what I think this is? It could be a lot of things, okay? I'm not saying this is what it is, but it seems to be a majority that you've got these traumatized or troubled individuals producing great music.
It's like absolutely, though.
Successfully channel it into the creative process.
Hendrix.
It doesn't mean that happy people can't channel their happiness into happy songs. I don't think the B-52s, they've had a tumultuous history as a band, but and individually rather, but as a band, maybe they form a happy unit. I heard this on the new show on Amazon called The Boys, which is really, really good, by the way. The analogy was that, you know, what is a Scary Spice doing these days? What is Posh Spice and Baby? What are they? They're doing fuck all. They're not doing jack shit, you know? They're all losers. But if they got back together, went on tours of Spice Girls, they'd be all famous because together they're something amazing, but individually they're all home, you know, train wrecks.
They're the Power Rangers without one another.
Yeah. So maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's that energetic connection between the main parties involved. But I'm not saying that the B-52s are troubled. I was thinking more basically all the dead people.
Morrison, Cobain,
Mama Cass.
I mean, like a band like Tool has, you know, three members who really care about doing the same thing, you know, like their own, you know, Danny still has Zalm. You know, Adam has his own creative exploits, and so does Justin, and obviously Maynard.
There's that funky Pucifer band with the shitty music. I really don't like Tool at all. So
Perfect Circle as well. So, yeah. The point is that there's all sorts of different kinds of creative.
Came out off
there's all sorts of creative artist types, and there's the kind like Kate Bush or Liz Fraser. Liz Fraser is both, you know, good on her own or in a band, but Kate Bush can do anything. I mean, I would use her as an exemplar of the kind of artist that I aspire to be.
See, now, I don't like her music, so I don't know what her catalog is like. I don't like her voice.
Too witchy? What don't you like?
I generally don't like women singers.
I like your, we can use that as the opener. the Jerry remix.
The shit she did with Peter Gabriel was all right.
Oh, yeah, that's a great song, though. Yeah.
I love Diana Krall. She's got an amazing voice. So
didn't she do some stuff with Jimmy Page, or was it Robert Plant? Diana Krall?
Ooh, maybe. Diana She's Krall. Married to, what's his name? Elvis Costello.
Interesting. Never really got that into him.
I've seen him too play with the Attractions.
Yeah. That's what one of the albums I listened to is with them.
13 Stairs Go Down. That song, the album that was on, that's Tourist.
Not sure who was that.
Really loud.
That's okay. I got into him when I got into like Mark Linkous with the Eels, or just Eels.
I love the Eels.
Dude, what's Elizabeth on the Bathroom Floor?
I like the one, I can't even think of the name of it now.
It's become a hipster segment now on the show. Jesus Christ, the people listening to this, what are they even talking about? So Jerry, what's your neck of the woods with creativity lately? I know you were working on wood recently. Have you moved on to something new?
No, I've moved on to different types of woodworking. I did, as you can see, fuck a lot of old stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep swearing.
Yeah.
I got bowls coming out of my butt. I was experimenting with incense burners.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I've got some play stuff up here that I've been playing with. Ideas, candle holders.
Oh, more bowls. Open a store, my man.
None of this stuff's worth selling. This one's pretty nice, though.
Dude, don't put yourself under the bus.
I'm not, but you can't really see it up close because you're in Boston. But yeah. No,
it's also the visual is lost on the audio.
The you could put pictures in the show notes.
Yeah, it's not really going to happen.
What was I going to say? So I've been so busy.
Yeah.
I am producing that show for Yvonne and Jay, which is 2 days a week. I've got my own show on Wednesdays. I'm doing Cruising Mistake on Tuesday nights. I have a full-time job. And I got a friend who's put up a website and needed my help getting it working, which has been the last 8 months, which is just over. So I've been really busy and not much time for creativity, but that's going to end soon.
I didn't hear you mention Nox Menti there.
I did. I said my own show.
Oh, your own show? Okay. Yeah.
We have a new show starting next month.
You said on Wednesdays.
I've kind of been saving up my creative stuff for that.
Nice. Yeah, I think you mentioned this a long while ago or something.
Yeah, I didn't want to peter out. And it's 2 weeks away, so I mean, it's right now is when I'm, this weekend I'm working on it.
That's exciting. Do you have a go date for this?
August 14th. It's going to be every month on the week of the full moon.
Nice.
Yeah. And our intention is to harness the energy of the full moon to enhance the show's entertainment value.
Ooh.
It's we'll have a guest most of the time. It's going to be segmented and live streamed and then taken down and moved to Patreon.
So that you can only get it if you are a patron.
Or watch it live.
Exactly.
Yeah. The whole second half of the show, we're going to do call-ins, live call-ins with any questions, you know, Art Bell style. Tell us your stories on the full moon.
It's pretty sweet, man. It's a good one. I like your thinking on that.
Thank you.
Was that your idea?
It was partially my idea and partially Nish's. Nish came up with the new... Originally, I came up with the concept of the name and all that. And the idea was we were going to have a very deep discussion about topics. Say, just pick any topic, you aliens, right? We were going to have three different people on to express their opinion on the the mind, the body, or the spirit of that particular topic.
Right.
Esoteric, the exoteric, and then whatever the third one is.
That's what's up,
logical. And we sat on it for a year because it was just too much. It was too ambitious. That's the way to put it. It was far too ambitious for the amount of time that we have to work on.
Are you guys going to keep Nox Menti running?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be three nights a month.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, three Nox Mentis and one obelisk. I honestly, well, if we could move away from the full moon thing. See, I don't want to get hung up with anything that limits what we can do because I'd like to see maybe two and two. But who knows? We'll see how it goes. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, new and full could be cool.
But Nox Menti is not tweaking me anymore.
Yeah, I get that sensation, my friend.
It's a great show. I love it, but I need something else. It needs to evolve.
I'm doing the same thing. It's so funny that you're doing this because 3 days before is coming my Six of Wands. So, and that's a live show itself. So it's kind of funny how these things line up, isn't it?
Talk about lining up. This also happens to coincide with us reaching up over 1,000 subscribers on the show.
Cheers, mate.
On the channel, rather. And we got accepted into the YouTube Partner Program.
Oh, excellent. Good. Yeah. Stay on the light side of the fence, my friend. Yeah, no, it's kind of meta to be on a show talking about shows, but this is the kind of things that artists do. So it's all well. It's all in the realm. So I guess we're going to start getting towards the tail end of tonight's episode. So you've got a bunch of new shows in the pot coming up. And do you have any strange weird synchronicities that have really popped out to you lately that you would like to mention right here?
I don't. It's been pretty synchronistically dry.
I was going to say, because like something that you think would like spark off some other sinks maybe. And if it's dry, then there's plenty of kindling.
No, not lately. I think come September, we'll be seeing more.
Oh, I've been seeing plenty myself.
Well, for me, I think I'll be seeing more in September because as I get closer to September, I'm going to be thinking about all the conventions I'm going to. I'm going to like a Bigfoot convention. There's a paranormal thing in Kentucky I'm going to, and there's CryptidCon.
I think it's interesting how you view it that way. I'm glad I asked the question. That's neat.
Well, yeah, because I'm going to be thinking about these things and putting energy into them, which will then... The people that I know I'm going to see there are going to be doing the same thing. So we're going to create thought forms about each other. That's, I think, what draws the synchronicities to the surface.
It's something you just said makes me feel like there's some kind of connection to how you're feeling about Nox Mente too.
How's that?
The lack of input, energy, enthusiasm to the thought form.
No, it's not that. The issue with Nox Mente is just, so it's just like, it's harder and harder to find guests that we want to talk to.
But, so I guess like what I'm saying though, is like, I still see it as connected personally. I mean, you might disagree. I see a very direct connection between the vivacity of which you speak as a core component of these topics as a kind of a Venn diagram overlap.
Well, that's my whole life, is a giant Venn diagram.
What do you think about the Chinese hexagram and the eighth bar in the I Ching?
The what?
You know anything about the I Ching?
No. Okay. I mean, I know what it is. I don't know what the individual tiles are.
I'm going to need to get someone on Six of Swords for that who knows a lot about the aspect, both of the I Ching. Got to get someone who knows stuff about Tai Chi. And I got to get someone who knows about the Mantak Cha form of sexual cultivation and also Taoist cosmology. So, yeah, a whole bunch of things to get on there.
I would like to learn Tai Chi.
You can do that.
I know. It's just not convenient.
I would like to, but...
I mean, there's nowhere near me that teaches it or has a place where you can go learn it. There are places like 30 miles away.
I understand the desire to have a teacher rather than just learn from a video or a book.
I personally think like with any kind of energy work, which I believe Tai Chi to be, mm-hmm. and also Qigong, or there's other tons of forms of this. It's a meditation practice to some degree, and it's an energy movement practice. So you're learning how to manipulate your energy. And I think when you do that in groups of people, it's better.
Well, it doesn't hurt to do it by yourself either.
I know. But I'd rather go to a class.
Gotcha.
For some reason, I'll just learn it that way. It's more structured. If it's unstructured and I have to watch videos to do it, I will never do it, as I have not.
Hey, you know what, brother? I understand structure. So, yeah. We're getting towards the tail end of the evening. I think we've said what we came here to say, and it's been a good show so far, and
why did you want my birth chart information?
Because Brother Joe has a crap ton of similar chartage. You guys have some interesting third house moonage and whatnot. Joe, what do you think about that?
I have no idea what that stuff means. You guys got to tell me.
Yeah, I'm not very good with astrology either.
Well, I was just taking a look at the similarities in your charts with the rising sign, both having the, I believe you're both Cap. What, you know, I'd have to look. I know you're Capricorn Joe rising.
That's me.
I can't recall what Jerry was.
Virgo.
Right. I knew it was an earth symbol. Yeah, you guys are both earth rising, but I was just comparing similarities. You both have a moon in the third house and a, what, water sign it must be.
Yeah, I think I'm Pisces moon.
You have a Pisces. Jerry has Scorpio.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's gotten to that point in the show. Yeah, interesting. Jerry has like definite. Jerry's destined to be a weirdo with his Neptune placement in the 12th house in the Sagittarius. I'm sorry, that's you. I meant your Scorpio third house. I was reading Joe's chart. I'm like, why am I reading Joe's chart? Anyways, Jerry, you have Neptune, the planet of dreams, illusions, and whatnot, in your lower house of thinking, so your common house of thought, like what you typically think about. You also have the moon in the same sign, so you're going to have all sorts of like weird energy, and your Neptune's retrograde. That's how I read it, though, and I'm like more novice than novice, but that's just what I see.
Cool. I've never had anyone do my chart. I would be interested in that.
Austin Kopic's always a recommendation, but he has got a list.
He's back. Yeah, backlogged upon backlogged.
He did my chart a few years ago. I've had it done a few times. Yeah, disregard any of the astrological advice I guess gave, because I'm not gonna tell you that that's actually accurate.
It wasn't really advice. So you're good.
It wasn't. It was just when I saw the Neptune, I'm like, that's something very Jerry. And I'm reading Joe's chart, and I'm like, dude, that's not what I read earlier. What the shit?
I've got a copy of mine somewhere I'm looking for. I can't find it.
I didn't know you were from New York, Jerry.
Yes.
Or maybe I forgot.
I might not have told you.
Yeah, it might have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, here's my chart.
Anyways, we're winding up on the show here. Now we're just bantering about our charts. Joe and Jerry, thank you so much for joining me tonight on the Six of Cups. This has been another fun episode. So, guys, do you have any other projects that you want to give a shout-out to, or any places that people should go to see what you're up to?
I am working on a new website. It's probably up, and it shouldn't be. It's kind of like over... I think it's an overreach for myself a little bit, but I'm trying to push myself. And it's strangewaves.com, waves like the audio file, WAVS. And that's going to be the home to a blog. And I'm hoping to do a series of podcasts, kind of like how you're doing with your tarot card. I can't think of what it's called. The different suits of the tarot card. I'm kind of trying to do something like Vice did, but not that huge, obviously. But you know, where you just have, so I don't have to just have a podcast. If I want to explore something, I can, you know, do little mini series, things like that. I've just been trying to move more into the direction of making things and talking to people. So yeah, I think Strange Waves on Twitter. Strange_WAVS. And the, like I said, strangewaves.com. You can check that out for a little bit more information.
Thank you. I'm glad you shared that with us. And Jerry, what about you?
Just the regular website, noxmente.com.
Ta-da! All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining me tonight.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Check out this awesome shirt I got.
Oh, hold on, guys. I'm going to end the meeting.
Don't end the meeting.
I already clicked the damn button.
Hit escape.
Oh, fortunately, my computer's slow. That's a cool shirt.
Yeah, it's Lando Calrissian. It's like a Hyperfly, like Superfly.
Ha!
It says you're the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. Hyperfly.
Legendary. I was a huge Star Wars fan back in high school, especially. I knew all the aliens and all the... Oh, my God. Yeah.
This is the second shirt I put on today. It's my bedroom, but I bought... Oh, it's a picture from, like, the 50s. But... I can't explain. I'll show you the picture. I found Greg Bishop from Radio Misterioso posted it. And I I'm like, you got to make a shirt out of this. And he didn't answer me like within 30 seconds. So I went and did it. And I bought one and then took it offline because he was mad at me that I didn't check the copyright on it. I'm like, okay. So I took it down. God damn, I can't find it now. What the fuck?
Hey, Joe, did you solve your problem there?
Not really.
Fuck.
I mean, it's something that happened on site, so it's like I'm not going to a store tonight to solve a cash register problem. It's just the person who's dealing with it. So I work in retail IT.
This is the picture.
You work in retail IT.
Yeah. So it's like if something goes wrong with the cash register, we have to fix it.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Is that the most common problem?
No. There's not a common problem. Just think of like everything that go wrong with the computer and then include customers. So most, I guess it'd probably mostly be like phones going down and credit card machines not working.
Credit card, yeah.
My ex-wife works for a company that runs all the card machines in airports and stuff.
Airports?
Yeah. Controlled stores, I guess you'd call it. I don't know what they call it. I don't know what the classification of business is. It's the only job she's ever had in her life, and she got it after we got divorced.
Needed some motivation.
Yeah, exactly.
This woman went to school the whole time we were married. Oh, I want to get a degree in this. Oh, I want to get a degree in this. Okay. I mean, like going back to, I remember in 1998, she's like, I want to get a degree in Java so I can do Y2K consulting.
Be right back.
That's future plans there.
It was a great plan. Those people were making up to $1,000 an hour, but she never got a job. She wanted to go back to school.
I didn't know people were making that much money for that shit. Jesus Christ.
As crunch time came, yeah, they were.
Fucking nutty, dude. I guess so. Yeah, people going crazy. Okay. My computer is nice and frozen here.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. All right. I don't know if this is going to end or not, but if it does, we're welcome to jump into the vocal chat on Six of Swords, the three of us, just to peter off. I'm going to go outside and smoke a cigarette, in fact, if y'all want to do that.
What?
Do you want to jump into the voice chat on Six of Swords so I can go outside and smoke a cigarette?
The voice chat. Why? What's wrong with Zoom?
I can't bring Zoom outside with me?
Sure you can.
Yeah, I can. Hold on. You're right. That's actually, let me try to do this. I haven't tried to. How do I join my own call?
You just click on the link.
Click on the link. Okay.
You should be able to work. It should be able to work.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess so. Good man.
Can do it.
All right. Let me try this now. Whoa. Hey now.
Yeah. It actually sounds better than your microphone. It's true. I don't know why. Time to get a new computer. That's what Yvonne and Jay are telling me. We're going to give you money for your production stuff because I got a Patreon now. Yeah, I feel bad. I feel bad. I don't like to do that. It's just, I am not about making money. And especially for something that I enjoy doing, like the shows. You know, it's like I'm doing this as a service to the world in my head. Not, it's not an income stream that I expect or will depend on ever. And you know, this is my parents bitch at me, like my mom does, not my father. She's like, why do you do all this for free? You don't charge anybody. Money's evil, mom.
Touchscreen should be yellow.
She just doesn't get the evil money thing.
Any of the old monkeys?
You need to mute your...
Yeah, hold on.
I can't mute you. Oh, it's locked up. Just turn your computer off.
There. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just turned my TV off. This thing is not going to stop recording for a while. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the call off the best I can. And I will either call you back or I don't know. I'm just trying to get my computer to be turned off here.
Just turn it off. Just shut the fucking thing down. The Zoom, you will not lose the recording.
Hmm. Yeah, it's good and frozen. Something good old beach ball.
Unplug the fucking thing.
I'll give it a second. Should be fine. I'm just trying to stop the recording, that's all. Hitting escape like a madman. What's the alternate problem between the keyboard and chair?
The operator?
Yeah. Did you ever use that, or is that just like something that's more of a Pulp Fiction kind of thing?
What? That joke?
Yeah. Did you ever use that to describe a caller?
Not that. I had a couple. I've done ESO. This problem seems like an ESO problem. Equipment superior to operator.
Did you create that?
No, it's actually an army term.
Ah.
Which is, makes it even better.
Yeah. Oh. You know that Maynard Keenan was in the army?
Who is he?
Singer Tool.
Ah, no.
He went to a...
Are they American guys?
Three of them are now. One of them is British. Ay, ay, ay. This computer's usually so good with these things. I don't know what's going on. I think I have all the programs shut down besides Chrome and this.
So I'll tell you one thing about certain music. You know how people are empathetic and they can feel someone's vibe, right?
Sure.
I can feel that music. And so there's certain types of music. I can feel it pretty much everywhere. I get vibe from stuff. Like there's things that I don't do because of that. Like I don't go into bars because of that. But there's also certain music that I won't listen to, like Tool, because I get that vibe from that music.
It's too intense, huh?
No, it's bad. In my paradigm, it's not good for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's bad. It's not good for me. That's the way I put it.
I feel you, man. I feel that way about certain music myself.
Then again, when I hear music that I know is good for me, I get fucking goosebumps over my whole body, like continual goosebumps and tingling. Like my entire body lights up.
Do you have any particular kind of music that does that?
No. What's a good one? I heard a song today. I got one. Yeah, I have one for you. This one definitely does it for me.
Oh, hey, Jerry. I can't listen to anything besides the music I was talking about earlier right now.
Well, I will put it into your music channel and you listen to it sometime.
That'll be good. Thank you.
Where is your music? Here it is.
Seriously, though, can this just... If this thing stops, then I will reach out to you via Discord or whatever. I just want this thing to stop.
Just turn your computer off.
Yeah, it's about what I'm getting ready to do, actually. I'm like, just work.
If it's any consolation, this is a Mongolian song.
Nah, I don't want to hear anything right now.
These memes suck.
What's that?
These memes suck.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what do you think about the... Oh, you know something I'd love to talk with you about sometimes? The whole Pepe, all that stuff.
Mimetics and mimetic magic?
Well, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's what people are calling it, but...
Well, in my mind, a meme is no different than a sigil.
Okay.
It conveys an intent for you to understand something in a certain way, and it has energy behind it because it's funny.
So there's emotions invested in it.
Absolutely. People see memes and get triggered.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah.
So NPC guy?
Yeah.
He was from Boston.
He's from everywhere.
No, like that specific pink hat kid. Remember that NPC meme, go away. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was from Boston. Charming.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that too. So, like, we've got all these quote-unquote NPCs, right?
Sure.
And I know some have gone as far to say that they are vessels without souls or vessels with quote-unquote demonic souls or quote-unquote AI souls, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
I'll go with AI souls because, and this is more on a larger scale. When you think about it, when you dream, how many times have you had a dream where you're doing mundane shit? Like living another life somewhere, right? You know, I really think that there are, that we all have multiple lives and they're all happening at the same time. There's no past or future. The past and the present and the future are all the same thing. They're just... time, we use time to logically organize them, our experiences in those other lives, if you will, other lives and other vessels. So think about when you're not dreaming that dream and you're not in that realm, if you will, or dimension or whatever it is.
Say, I guess I'm recording. This is professional stuff, people. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you got some inspiration from that. I think that we are three different individual, really potently cool people. And I only say that because it's freaking true. So thank you for listening. I hope that we've influenced you in a good way. And now I'm totally like, it's a black moon today. And I'm recording this and releasing it because... it's time to sow some real positivity. So, I say these things humbly. We are really cool people. It's kind of odd. Jerry is just so... oh, man. I mean, he makes stuff with wood. I mean, he publishes video. He's a publisher is good enough. I'm trying to make these, so he's a woodworker, a publisher. And he wrote, like... he wrote coding books. I mean, the guy is amazing. Again, don't tell him I ever said that. And furthermore, Brother Joe has... look, man, I mean, let's just... I'll be a little more silent on this one, and suffice to say that he has... I don't know why I'm going here with this one, because I could speak about, like, you know, how freaking cool his mind works, or I could talk about... I want to say he has a heart of gold. And I don't know. I'm just It's been a long day. I'm doing show notes. I have other things I need to do. I'm going to watch Black Moon on Criterion Collection DVD. You know, I like simple little things in life, like 5.1 surround sound and crisp, clear, you know, at least 42-inch television. 42 being the magic number there, folks. At least, you know, high def, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'll just pause to ponder upon. And by the way, I want to notice when I was talking about the professional part of my show, the more donations the show gets, the better this quality. It's not like I'm holding you guys hostage from this material. For those of you who enjoy it, I really want to make this. I'm working with just a couple of things need to be streamlined here, and that involves donations for the product so I can make this. I want to make that clear. I feel like that's something that needs to be said and happily and well met. And so to continue on with the concept of like 42 being the magic number of the screen ratio and just these simple little things. I'm going to be watching Black Moon later, which apparently is about Lewis Carroll. I had no idea until I looked on the back of the box today. Whenever there are Criterion Collection sales, that's the time to, that's pro tip from the show. Time to go get yourself Barnes & Noble, and then they do an alternate schedule. I don't know if I haven't looked at the Zodiacal or the star timing on it, but the point is that there's like a few times yearly, if you get on their mailing list, they'll let you know. So we're going to be watching Black Moon, the GF and I, the Blanc Ran, since I am Roche Rule, I guess I'm saying it, get Frenchy enough. Frenchily. All right, you've heard enough. I don't want to keep it too long here, my good friends, my darlings, my listeners, my loves. But I do got a Skidoo 23 style, and that's I think I pumped and praised Jerry and Joe enough. That sounded good, right? Okay, cool. It's like I said, it's a long day. Been doing some cool stuff lately. Just really special stuff happening. And man, the synchronicities are like blowing it up and building it up even higher after blowing it up and then making it even better. Weird. So many weird things are happening. And I mean that WYRD. So thanks for listening. And I want to help out, I guess, is my message. I want there to be peace on this earth. I want there to be sustainability. And I want people to respect people's liberty. You know, right? These are good things. So let's all learn to control ourselves the best we can so that we can be a blessing to this planet, a blessing to each other, and a blessing as recognized by the very divine fact that we are alive right now. That's very cool. It's a gift that we are existing. And that means that we don't have to just exist, right? So thanks, guys, and I'll see you next time. Love.